Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. This is God's word. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." For the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. We come fixing our eyes on Jesus, asking and praying that by the power of your Spirit, you would open our hearts to understand your truth, that you would drive it deep into our hearts, and that you would continue to change us as we look to you in faith. Meet with us now in the power of your Spirit, and teach us, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Have you ever had a defining moment in your life? Kids, a defining moment is obviously a moment that is kind of set apart in some ways from the rest of life that gets your attention and it shapes you. It changes who you are, and you're never really exactly the same again after a defining moment actually happens. Here in this text, we find the shepherds having a defining moment, a moment that changed their lives forever, a moment so profound that I would think they would never, ever forget it. And it changed them. We don't know that for certain, but most of us have had moments like that. Here, they are supernaturally confronted with the reality of God. God revealing his powerful intervention into the affairs of humanity, declaring it through an angel. As we look at this text, we want to recognize that what the Lord really tells us here, it is the Lord himself who transforms his people through the revelation of his appointed Savior. The Lord is the one himself who transforms his people, and it's through the revelation, the revealing of his appointed Savior. And isn't that what God does to us in salvation? That God transforms us by revealing who Jesus is, and us seeing that, and I hope having a defining moment that will change your life forever. Notice how the Lord works here in the shepherds' lives in particular. And notice where we begin. The shepherds are filled with fear at the revelation of the angelic messenger. When this angel appears to them, they're filled with fear. Verses 8 and 9. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. In that same region, it's the region of Bethlehem, the region where Mary had given birth to the Lord Jesus, the human nature of Christ. There are shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we think about shepherds, we think about King David, and when David was young, and we think about the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And all that God does, we think about almost a romantic view of what shepherds were like. Well, that was a long, long, long time ago. Not the first century. We think about David, and it's these same fields where he would have fought the lion and the bear. It's these same fields where they were. But now, shepherds are hired men. They tend not to care a whole lot for their sheep. In fact, the Midrash, a Jewish document that would date to this period, written mostly by rabbis about how the culture should function and about ideas about scripture, to be a shepherd was a despised trade. It was looked down upon by everyone, and even in the Midrash it would say, "Fathers, you must not teach your sons to be shepherds." It was forbidden for fathers to do that. Looked down on by all of society. Shepherds were only slightly above tax collectors in the way that they were viewed. A shepherd was viewed to be dishonest inherently. And you were forbidden legally from buying anything from a shepherd. You couldn't buy wool. You couldn't buy milk. You couldn't buy a kid, a baby goat, or a baby sheep. Because these guys were so dishonest. In fact, they were so dishonest, they could not testify in a court of law. They could never be judges. They were cut off from civil responsibilities, from political responsibilities. They were ostracized and viewed as disreputable across the board. Now, when we think about professions that people look down on, today it might be a little harder for us to really come up with something that would make a good connection. As I thought about it, we wouldn't really trust gang members, would we? We probably wouldn't really trust drug dealers, would we? There are those in society that we would probably look at and feel like we can't really trust that person. It's a very difficult thing in our society when we see someone sitting in the middle of a road with a sign. Can you trust that person? There are plenty of them you cannot. There are probably some that really have genuine needs, but it's so hard to know. You know the guy that writes the sign that says, "Let's be honest, I'm just going to buy beer." You know, okay, he's probably telling you the truth. But are you going to give him money for beer? So it's hard for us maybe to make that same connection. And one of the differences for us living in a Christianized society that's becoming less and less Christian, there are different morals than you would have been dealing with in the first century. It would have been a very spiritually dark place. People not really trusting one another and all trying to be viewed maybe better than anybody else. So here these men are at the bottom of the social ladder. In fact, they're pretty well parallel in that culture to a Gentile slave. Don't you understand how despised these men were? A Gentile is an outsider. You don't trust him at all. And a slave, he has no status in this culture. So these men are at the bottom. And they're watching over their flocks by night in the fields. We don't really know what time of year this would be, because the Midrash also said that for the sheep that are to be prepared for temple sacrifices, which very likely would be these sheep because they're in Bethlehem, which would be close to Jerusalem, they're supposed to be out in the fields year round. And in Bethlehem, the culture or the climate is more tolerable even in the winter. So we don't really know what time of year Christ was actually born. You get lots of people tell you, and they'll pick pretty much every day of the year that they think is the day. So we don't really actually know. But they're watching over their sheep out in the fields by night. They would have been doing this year round. And an angel of the Lord appears to them. We see that in verse 9. It would seem that this angel just suddenly appears. It's immediate. The word angel in Greek is a masculine noun. The likelihood that angels appeared as men is very strong, because that's the noun in Hebrew and in Greek. We don't know for sure, but we know that this angel would have been intimidating. The glory, the Shekinah glory, the glory of the covenant God shines around him. Here it most likely is pitch black in the sky. They may have a fire, most likely do. They can see the stars, and all of a sudden, an angel with the divine supernatural glory of God appears. That would be terrifying. And that's really the idea of the language. We're filled with great fear. They were terrified. Have you ever been terrified before? I was. It was late one night, probably in high school, maybe college, driven home to my mom's house, parked in the driveway, got out of my car, walked around the back of the garage, and went to unlock the side garage door. And I looked up, and I saw a demon. Black eyes, long nose, furry face. I heard a noise. And I realized, oh, that was me. And the possum jumped off the table, the picnic table, and waddled out to the back. And my heart is beating. And I go inside. I'm actually quite relieved it was not a demon and it was just a possum. These guys, these angels, or this angel at least that appears to them, is real. It's intimidating. It is the glory of God, and these shepherds are terrified. They're filled with great fear. We know in Joshua chapter 5, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua with a sword drawn. And Joshua asks, who are you for, for us or for them? The angel of the Lord says, neither. I'm the commander of the Lord's army, and I have come. And Joshua worships him, in the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. So here, the supernatural glory of God appears in this angel. And again, often in our culture today, there are many angels that are displayed with long hair and more feminine features. I don't think you have that here at all. Because a multitude of the heavenly host, a better way to translate it is a multitude of the heavenly army. These are angelic soldiers. We can think about all the amazing soldiers that we know that are very powerful. Just multiply that up. And I think you're starting to get an example of what they probably saw. They saw this amazing angel. And as they see the glory of the Lord, they are confronted with the reality and the power of God. And it fills them with sheer terror. It's as sudden as though God himself has appeared to them. And God is appearing to selfish, conniving, dangerous men, and he terrifies them. To see the holiness of God, even in his servants, we get this image in Revelation that John, who knows the Lord Jesus, falling on his face at angels, and the angels encourage him, no, I'm also a servant of the living God, stand up. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the presence of the living God. That's the first impression of these men who may have been preparing sheep for slaughter in the temple, but who would not darken the door of a synagogue or of the temple. They were men who were out all the time, and really cut off from the society by and large. People would probably see them if they went into the streets and they would step away from them. They would ignore them. They would stay away from these men. But here, the glory of God in this angel appears to them and they're overwhelmed. But notice how what they experience shifts. The shepherds are filled secondarily with hopeful wonder at the message of the angelic messenger. Verses 10 to 14. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The angel says, "Fear not," and the force of the verb is stop being afraid. Stop an action already going on. Stop being afraid. And the reason, verse 10, "For unto you this day is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He announces, proclaims to them good news of great joy that will be for all the people. They could easily think, for all the people except us, except the angel came to them. For all the people, you too. That would have been, for them, amazing news. That God is announcing this to them. Men who ignored God and thought that if there was a God, he ignored us. The word, therefore, good news of great joy, is the same word that we get evangelism from. It's good news of the gospel, and this word is used in the Greek version of the Old Testament for deliverance of God's people. So Old Testament, New Testament, same idea that it is used of the good news of the gospel, and that's what the angel is proclaiming to them. And he's born this day, earlier in the day, some point we don't know when, a Savior, a deliverer of God's people, a rescuer, who is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One, the Messiah, Yahweh. The highest possible language is used and divinity is pointed to or alluded to in this whole process. This sign is to confirm the word that they've just been told. And we know, I hope, a manger is not a stall. It's a feeding trough. You will find the baby laid in a feeding trough. The shepherds would know that in their day, the inn, it's not a holiday inn. It's not even a Motel 6. Nobody's leaving the light on for you. Okay? It's a big open room, usually rectangular, with nothing in it except maybe some hay on the ground. And you are staying in the same room with every other traveler. Privacy is not a word that we would really understand in this context. And if you're laying a baby in a feeding trough, not in your own home, most likely what you're dealing with is the feeding trough of the inn. That's probably where they're going to look first. What's interesting too, you know, whenever we do our nativity scenes, everybody's all together, right? Well, we know that it would seem that the wise men came a year or 2 years, probably a year, give or take, after the birth of Christ. Because Herod was such a wicked man, if they had seen the star for a year, Herod's gone for 2 years. So that's probably the most likely time frame. So the shepherds would have an idea of what's really going on. And suddenly, again, just as the first angel appeared, an army of heaven appears before these men. But this is no ordinary army. This is a strange army, because this army announces peace. Armies don't announce peace. They go to war. But this army declares glory to God in the highest heaven, declaring glory to God first and foremost, and secondarily, that on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. The idea here is peace to men on whom his favor rests. The emphasis is on God, not on man. And it's really ultimately peace with God that is in view here, between God and mankind. That God is sending peace to his people. It's not based on performance. It's not based on what you do. It's not based on your merit. It's based on God's mercy, God's extension of grace to people. And here it would seem that these shepherds, it's a shift from fear to hope in the content of the message, that God is giving them a new message, a message they have never probably really ever heard before. And it's God to them and to all people. So here the shepherds are confronted with the glory of God, most likely thinking of their own sin, their distance from God, the hardness of their hearts, being confronted that God is real, God is true, but then also seeing that God is a merciful God, that God is a God of grace, that God is announcing to men at the very bottom of the pecking order, mercy to them. And so the shepherds respond with praise and worship to God for the fulfillment of the angelic message. The angel announces this message to them. And verses 15 to 20, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The the shepherds observe the angels, it would seem, again, they appear suddenly, but as they leave gradually, ascending up into heaven. They're able to watch them go up. And then the force of the language in the original is the shepherds were saying over and over and over again to one another, let's go, let's go, let's go to Bethlehem, let's see what God has done, let's see what God has revealed to us. There's an urgency, there's a haste in their language, and then they go with haste. Now we don't know if they left somebody watching over the sheep. The Lord doesn't think it's important for us to know, so we don't have to worry about it. They went. They went to Bethlehem. They moved from terror to hope to joy, excitement. They're transformed men. And they see the sign fulfilled. The promise that the angel told them. They see the baby in the manger, in the feeding trough. And so they told Mary and Joseph. And then they made known this saying to all the people, everyone that they could tell. They're the first evangelists of the newborn king. And I want you to catch the irony. Men that no one would listen to listened to them. God gave them a message so different and so unique from who they were that people wondered at what they were told. God went to the very bottom of the barrel and probably actually at what was under the barrel and pulled these men out. And he used them and declared his truth to them that they would go and tell the world. God's kingdom, we know, is not like any other kingdom in the world. Just like God chose to declare his truth to these men, so God has chosen to declare his truth to those of us who trust in him as Lord and Savior. Just like he made himself known to them, if you truly know Christ, at some point in the process, the Lord has shown you the terror of being apart from him. Maybe it wasn't at the very beginning. For the shepherds it was. Maybe it wasn't for you. For me, it wasn't. It wasn't until after I really understood the gospel and began to grow in Christ, I began to see more and more my sin and the desperate need that I have for a Savior. These men saw that up front. And then they saw the promise of this Savior. This passage is a picture of coming to Christ, of trusting in the Lord Jesus, of seeing the reality of our sin, of seeing the beauty of a compassionate God who extends his grace to the most wicked among us and everybody up from there. And his great mighty salvation that transforms these men, that their hope has become a reality when they see this sign, and now they praise and worship God. They go back to their fields as changed men. They have had a defining moment that has shaped them for the rest of their lives. When we come to faith in Christ, true faith in Christ, it will change you. It will make you different. It will shape you. And the amazing thing is, God continues to change and shape us. Here we have this amazing picture of the shepherds going from fear, terror, to hope, to joy. And that's really what this season is all about. Is seeing that God in His mercy has sent His appointed Savior into the world, and that by the power of His Spirit, He continues to transform us and people by the power of His grace and mercy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank and praise You for this great love that You have poured out upon us, and how in Your mercy You remind us that You are the one who has chosen us. You are the one who has appointed us to serve You. Fill us with joy at this great salvation. And use us to proclaim Your truth in whatever way You see fit. We thank and praise You for this great love. We once again give our hearts to You, our Savior, to Christ the Lord, who through the power of Your Spirit has opened the eyes of our hearts that we might see that for all of us who trust in You, You've taken us from death to life. Jesus died for our sins, and we praise You that we can now live for You. Give us grace this season and the rest of our lives to be people who have been defined, changed by Your gospel. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.